Assalamu alaikum. Blog Talk Radio. Assalamu alaikum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani wajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is top priority in our lives. He is our focal point. He is the point that we all must be directed. And if we are all directed to that point, our lives shall be successful. Ashadawana Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of God. He is our human model. He is one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised up to teach us and deliver us from idolatry. Now, that idolatry goes many ways. We idolize things. We place things as important, but nothing is more important than the human model that Allah has raised up, because he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger. He is his Rasul, but he is our Nabi. Imam Wan D. Muhammad, our teacher, I'm a student of Imam Wan D. Muhammad, told us to say Muhammad Nabi. He is our prophet. So Allah has given us a prophet, a human model, to give us a communication. Well, brothers and sisters, this is something that is very important in our lives, because we have got things going on in our lives that a lot of people have thrown their hands up on. They have left it alone. They said that the leadership, that the youth is not ready for it. So they want to keep it to themselves. They don't want to bring it down to us. They're starting a disconnection. But this is nothing new. This is the infiltration. You know, when it said with John the Baptist that they wanted to cut off the head of the leadership. So we know these wicked conspirators, they are here to try to cut off the head of the leadership. But remember, Allah raised up Prophet Muhammad for us. And through that Prophet Muhammad, we have a model. And where is that model? That model was in Imam Wan Uddin Muhammad. He was our model to help us in our situation. For Allah said that he had made male, female, black, white, all colors, and for us to learn from one another, not to dislike and despise. But in that word learn, you have ilm. It's for us to derive knowledge from this. So we see something very conducive, that Allah gave us someone that we can learn from, that we can take out the dislike that we had in our nature since the slave plantation. Yes, that did exist. That did happen. That is true. But not for us to get emotional about it. Not for us to get in an uproar about it. No, it's from us to extract substance from what happened to us in the past, and to get that substance and try to use that substance to guarantee us into the future. And Allah give us that so beautifully in the Arabic language, as he said, Razaknahum. Because when you come into the Fatiha, and going from the Fatiha, from asking Allah for guidance and mercy, you go into the Baqarah, and it says, Razaknahum, that we asking Allah for sustenance. Because when we have sustenance, we can go to work. So we gave us Imam Wan D. Muhammad, who is full of sustenance. He gave us something that we can go to work with. So we know why the enemy is really trying to take that away from us. He's trying to strip that sustenance away from us so we can be a body without a head. But all praise is due to Allah that we don't have a community that exercises that type of demeanor. We have a community that is tight like a rope, that always strengthening up leadership. Each one teach one. Want for your brother what you want for yourself. This is the language that is in our community. Yes, this is official language. This is the language that Imam Muhammad has blessed us with. And my brothers and sisters, this is not just something that is in a box building. This is something that is outside. This is something that is outside the confinement. We are followers of Prophet Muhammad, and we know in the Quran that Allah told him to go out and come out of the mountain. Come off the cult and let the world know. Let them know that religion means alive. And I would like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this day for allowing us this opportunity to bring life to the community. And this is very important. And my name is Abdullah Latif. I want to thank Allah for Imam Alpha Muhammad and Sister Fatima Muhammad for their hard work, and the other brothers that are along with them, and sisters that are along with them that's helping this thing go forward, and may Allah reward them with this effort, with his blessings, with their efforts that they are making. Because we are told that God helped those who help themselves. And in the Quran, it says that Allah will not change the condition. He will not change the condition until we change the condition in ourselves. So there's a condition going on. There's a condition that's going on with their talking in our youth. They're taking not just the people that's outside that don't have the title Muslim over in their names, but they're taking people, human beings. Human beings are a product of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in this creation. So we cannot take up the title of Muslim. Because we know that a believer is one who wants for his brother what he wants for himself. So we have to come out of this confinement because there is a condition going on. There is a condition to take our youth. Now, isn't this not the same expression that the youth is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he said that the female infant is wondering why she is being buried? For what crime did she commit? So we know that female infant, if you was in the official language of Imam Warren D. Muhammad, means a community. That means a community of people. That means that the infant, that the potential, the seed is being placed on the stone. It's being taken out of the ground, taken out of our community, taken out of our hands' reach, and placed on a stone where they can't grow. Well, brothers and sisters, this is a day. Allah said when we make the Shahada and when we call Adhan for prayer, we say Hayya ala Salat, then we say Hayya ala Falat. So when we come from prayer, we coming into success. So this is a success. This is really not a message that's coming from me to be about pointing into problems. Because you hear problems when you turn on the TV. You hear problems that you had from yesterday. You got problems that you had from last week. We need to hear about solutions. And brothers and sisters, Allah told us he gave us Razak Nahum. He gave us sustenance, so he gave us a solution. He gave us something to help us. Now, the word prayer said it restrains us from much evil. So, now, us doing Salat in one context, but there's a deeper meaning that this prayer is giving us. Now, we know Salat means also to dicker, and we know that word dicker means something that you contemplate on. Well, condition is something that we got to contemplate on. You get a good etymology dictionary, the word con, C-O-N, and condition, they both have the same meaning. Now, you know that every consonant word is a compound. So this word con means like contingent, like continuity. So this word has some bit of a connection with it. So if we contemplate it, then we contemplate it, we merging that time, that focal point on the situation, then we can bring about a solution. Because Allah said, Ma'an usri yusri. Surely, after the difficulty, there is ease. And who knows best than Al-Alam, than the one who created the heavens and the earth? So we have solutions here. We have a solution to change the things that's happening right now. All we have to do is to operate off of it, operate off that goodness, because Allah said that is there. And if Allah told us to go into a mountain and that there is gold in that mountain, brothers and sisters, I know we would go to picking. We wouldn't worry about the hard sweat, the long hours, all that. We wouldn't worry about that. We know that there is gold. There is fortune in there. And brothers and sisters, that's the same way for our youth. That's the same way for our sisters walking those streets. Our brothers that's walking around, they have that good potential inside, and no one has dug it out. Now, we have the word of God. That means we're good diggers. That means we're good searchers. That means we're good finders. We're good seekers. So if we take this good WD-40, we take this good WD-40, I will say this again. If we take this good WD-40, we can go and loosen up those bones, those dry bones, as it says in the book of Ezekiel. Then we can go and loosen up those bones and bring them to life. Because see, once the bone is loosened, water can flow through. And it can reach the joints. Now, don't we need joints to be taken care of? You know, that was an old language back then. Man, I'm in the joint. You know, I was in the joint for 6.5 years. My 20 years was gone away from me. I was in the darkness, just like as the Prophet Muhammad. He was in the Jahiliya. I was in the Jahiliya. I had 365 guards, just like they had 365 guards over in Mecca. I had so many idols. It was a shame. I contributed to these idols. I worshiped these idols just as well as those that was in that same state. But all praise is due to Allah that we don't have to worry about that no more. Allah came and gave us a light. And he said that light was going to lead us from darkness into light. Now, I haven't met Prophet Muhammad in prison. And I haven't met Imam Warren D. Muhammad in prison. But my spirit has met him. My soul has met him. And psychic ability has met him. Now, we know Nafsin, where he died, means one soul. That one soul connects in with all of the prophets, with all of the messengers, with all of the pioneers, with all of our ancestors. Allah said he blessed us with mercy overflowing. So these things that we know and that we recognize, we need to bring that to the youth that don't know. See, because I was once the youth that didn't know, and a brother brought it to me. And all praise is due to Allah, that the sincerity in my heart in the hope, in the grasping for the truth. I couldn't get it right. I tried every religion. I tried Jehovah Witness. I tried Mormon. I tried Catholicism. I tried even Buddhism, Hinduism. I tried Malachi York. I tried every existing thing, but nothing sunk in. Nothing sunk in. And I even tried Islam. I haven't tried Al-Islam. Because it took Al-Islam to come to get me, to wake me up, to wake that civility that's in me, to work that humanity that's in me, to wake it out. Because we know it's not the Muslim that we're going to call people back to. We're coming to call people back to their humanity. Because that's what Allah gave us. Allah said he gave us humanity. This is for the human being. This message is for the human being. This is for the hardworking human being. This is for the unconscious human being. This is for the ones that don't know. So they are the ones that are in a condition. So we need a message to go to them just like the message came to me. So hopefully, inshallah, in this small expression, because this is just a small expression, but it's a big expression, because we know that the times that are at hand, we can see it. And one of the words, if you go in the Quran, in your time that you have, in Surah 6, Ayah 75, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, the father of intelligence, is taught to us by the Tafsir Imam Muhammad, told us that he looked into the heavens. He looked into the celestial bodies. Now, his forefathers, Azar and them, they believed in all these things. You know, the idol worshippers and all these things like that. They was into the myth. But Allah used a word in context where you got the word yakin, certainty. So obvious is the word in Arabic says obvious. Those things that are obvious. He taught them the qadar, but then he taught him the yasin, the yakin. My brother, he taught them the yakin, the certainty. He showed him the things that are obvious. Well, brothers and sisters, if you was to walk out your doorstep, go up to a school, right up to the stop sign or walking, you would see those things that are obvious. A brother walking around with his pants tagging, that is obvious. They said that there is 55% that is drugged down, and we count for 13% of the American population. That is obvious. Education is on a degradation rate, obvious. So these are things that we see going on, you know. So what can we do about the situation? What do we have to deal with that situation? Well, brother, just like I'm exercising my testimony from the purity of my heart, that's the same thing that we do. Allah said, and it is not a big task. Allah made it easy for us. Allah said, if you to save one, is to save the whole world. And remember in the beginning of this, it says, each one teach one. So if the one message was to be planted in this person, Allah is going to give the increase. Allah is going to take that from that person and put it on his conscience and his heart, and he's going to take it to another, and that person going to take it to another, and sooner or later, you got the whole population. So Allah is not a lie. Allah said that his words do not go void. And there's also a prayer. We ask Allah to, on the day of judgment, to grant us the promise that was promised to us through the messengers. So Allah will not give us nothing that is not true. And a life Allah told us to go in that mountain and dig for that gold. Brothers and sisters, we're not worried about the fatigue. We're not worried about the difficulty because we know that there is ease coming after, and we know the purpose of this. So this is a calling. This is why we have in these meetings, in these organizations. Because this is a calling, because there is a condition that's going on. And Imam Muhammad gave us much. He gave us sustenance because Allah put it in his heart to give us sustenance. You know, when I listened to the first time listening to Imam Warren D. Muhammad, Imam Warren D. Muhammad mentioned that he was in a room during the time of his father. And his mother, everybody left, and he was in this house, in this ice cold, this isolated house. And he said he began to hear things. And it was kind of a little frightening. He got down and prayed. And he said, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if he was not seeing him correctly, for him to help him see him correctly. So in that instance, I did the same thing. I asked Allah the same message, that if I'm not seeing you correctly, Allah, help me to see you correctly. So Allah put me in a beautiful garden. And he said, this garden is at the expansion of the universe. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that this tafsir of Imam Muhammad is the jinnat. It is the garden. It is the work of jinn. Not the jinn that's corrupted. This is the jinn that's submitted by with the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have something that is expansion. And all we have to do is pull it out. You see, you might got to dig your trench to allow those rivers to flow on in. So we got to go to work. And this is what Allah is placing on us. And again, I want to thank Allah for allowing Brother Afri Muhammad and Sister Fatima Muhammad to get this thing going, and the people that helped with them, you know, Allah to bless them for their efforts, and that we support their efforts, and that we strive to support these efforts and continue to support these efforts. Don't let the whisperer come in and wave your curtains. You know, like the brother said at the email meeting, so he said it so beautifully. The brother said that he would not allow the psychology to be worked on him. So we already went through the psychology. Slavery already took that from him. Allahu Akbar. So we already been stripped from that. So if this is not time for us to suck in jive, this is time for us to go to work. This is time for us. Like the brother say, either you're going to sit on the pot or you're going to get on out of it. Because it's time. This is what the time is calling for. Because this is a condition. And you remember the words from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. He said that Satan has given up on the big things coming to you. Huh. Say he's coming at the little things. Well, we have little spirit in us. Not big, but we have some with little spirit. Go back, look at the Quran. Look at these words. Allah said that some of them have little spirit, but we supposed to lower the wing for them. So these brothers that's outside of our ride that you seeing out there with all these things going on, these people that are in education, these are the ones exercising their weak spirit. And we need to lower our wings to them, not turn our nose up. you know, for the purpose. I don't wear, I don't wear anything that a deal. I come natural because Allah said that he put this in. Muslim is a nature attribute. It's not a name attribute. Muslim is a nature attribute. So this is something, but human being is our name. And we operating off of intelligence. So this nature attribute, it's natural. It's natural. And we liken that nature to the walking Quran, to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a fatherman. We ought to be fatherman. He was a community developer. We ought to be community developers. He was a businessman. We ought to be a businessman. He was a government man. He was a man of justice. We ought to be men of justice and women of justice and children of justice and teachers of justice, etc. So this is how very important this message is for us. This is how I advise you. I advise you to go look up Imam Warren Dean Muhammad Study Library. Look up the idea of freedom in Al-Islam. Look at these articles. Take one line of it and see how much work we have to go do. That's why Allah took Imam Warren D. Muhammad from seeing us presently, because he knew we were ready for the job. It's time for us to go in the job. But how are you going to maintain the storehouse? Is you going to have that storehouse and keep all that information to yourself? Are you going to be greedy and hold all of those things? This is the same thing that Allah spent on what the island said. If we had all the mercy, we wouldn't even give it up. We'll try to harvest it for ourselves. So, inshallah, everything that I said to you would be a blessing. And inshallah, I got some more brothers and brother Imam Alpha Muhammad have something that he wanted to deliver to us. And he got some more brothers. Ishmael, our brother Ishmael, we have some good message, some good suchness coming to us for our communities. So we can go out and we can go to work. It's time to go to work. That's how we revive our unity. Because to revive something means something had to be seen. Something had to be dead. Something had to be old and outdated. So for us to come back and revive it, we got to have suchness. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brother. We can continue. We're going to have brother Tariq from Baltimore to speak. Brother Ishmael hasn't arrived. And then after
yes,
brother
sir.
Tariq speaks, we were enjoying you so greatly, we wanted you to continue. But we want to have from brother Tariq from Baltimore, Maryland. Then we will follow back up with you if brother Ishmael Qadar is not here. You will continue until I give the main address. Thank you
so much,
Brother Imam. Brother Tariq.
Yes, sir. Is Brother Tariq coming on right now, Brother Imam?
Hello.
Brother Tariq?
I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Okay, Brother Gary. Hey, proceed, sir. We want to hear your words of wisdom. We're hearing from the youth. We're fired up and waiting for your words.
Yes, sir. This language that we've been blessed with is a tremendous blessing. If we can just find out how to go into these environments and use the language for the situation. This past summer, I spent the summer in Geneva, Switzerland, doing ecumenical studies with the World Council of Churches, and they were working together with the United Nations and some other different organizations for a summit on climate change. I was in a meeting with doctors, government leaders, and clerics from all over the world, and I'm just, you know, a community college student. But this walk in the language that Imam Muhammad blessed us with is a tremendous blessing. And as you said, we can't be greedy with it if we want to be over the storehouse. Just from being in that meeting and seeing how the language had elevated me to a level where I was able to compete with the rest of them who were doctors and government, in governments and in clerics and stuff like that, because they chose me to go to the United Nations to go speak to the United Nations Secretary General. So this language is a tremendous blessing, spoken and even when it can be expressed materially as well, through our actions, through our dealings, through our establishment. And I think that's what we need to work towards doing.
It's so very much.
Right now, I think humanity just is in the stage where we just in the unformed gen nature. And one of the main things that we need right now is love. And the first revelation given to the prophet, it said, خلق الإنسان من علق. We created the human being from the علق. If you look into the etymology of the word علق, it also means like a close affinity or love. And that's something that we're missing today in our world.
That's right.
We don't have that love. We don't have that love for each other. I see that love in the community, though, and I hope that this love can expand beyond the community, because it's something that we need. And I definitely see us being the storekeepers of that with our language and with our love that we have for each other and what Allah has blessed us with.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's what it is, because with Islam and what the Imam is doing with us is really taking the language and putting it in plain context, because we know what the Imam always told us, that he gave us our potential, that there's going to be a famine from hearing the word of God. That the people are not going to, they're going to read the word, but they're not going to understand it. And here we have a third grade in Louisiana in education. We have the lowest comprehension rate, but we have so many people graduating but going to college on a third grade and fourth grade level.
Right.
Now, they done went through all of these schools, these grades. You know, they done went all the way up to the 12th grade, and we know what these symbols mean, you know, and they got all the way up in these 12 degrees, and then they have inferior knowledge. They're not given the knowledge that they need to help them grow. So when they sitting into these churches and these mosques and these synagogues and the brothers talking so beautifully and giving them this information, they don't understand it. So when we come and take it and put it in a plain language for them, well, this is the plain language what I'm expressing on. We have a high rate right now in insurance. They say that 38 years old with life insurance, we expect that the black male in our community is expected life expectancy is 38 years old. Now, it was more, they tell us 75 years old to retirement, but we're not making it past 38. Then that's a condition. That means that we don't have no health awareness. So what we did was go into the community and inform people about their health, inform people about their dietary check, because see if I can preserve that body just for the time that it needs to be preserved, then we can put this information, this good halal message in them and to wake them up. So this, that's one of the avenues. Education, group economics, these are things that's fatal in our lives. This is one of the weaknesses that Allah was telling us about. This is one of the weaknesses. So these are the things that if we can come and give something, we got sustenance, we can give them something, you know, and show them how to operate that. And, you know, not by compulsory things, no, by what we putting in the community. You know, and we can put something in the community that will help them. And that draws them in, because the brothers, we got brothers come. I use music to talk to them, because it makes them think about a lot of things. Because they was like, wait a minute. I say, are we westernized, condemned for our gluttony and greed, washing the truth with material riches, valleys of blood of those who never experienced love? What are we, and why don't we remember black history? So these things, and I say, it started off from the Moors. exhibition wars, you impede enslavement, Queen Elizabeth sending destruction on creation. So we know what happened in 1492. Now, they instilled in our subliminal conscience that Christopher Columbus discovered America. That's all they wanted us to know about. But it was some more things that happened during that whole 1400 period and that they didn't tell us. So we kind of came out paraplegic. And I know you've seen a paraplegic person. He's short on you. He's not fully complete. And they tell us we three-fifths. So we walking around paraplegic in our root. You know, so there's a cause and effect to a lot of things. So that's why the conditions of the brothers and sisters that's out there on the street, that's the conditions. Because that's all they got is that dirty water. And here we got that cold water, that good water, clear water, halal water. But a lot, we have it in the refrigerator, and we don't want to give it out. And these brothers wait on it. You'll be amazed if you go to a brother that's in them streets and say, Assalamu alaikum. And that brother going to give you a reply from his heart because his subliminal conscience done hurt it because he in an environment that's made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's going to say, wa alaikum assalam. So we know the truth is out there. It's in their heart. Allah said he placed it in their heart. That's what he said he did to the loins of the children of Adam in the Quran. He said he placed it. They know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all we got to do is to go out there and bring it out of them. We got to lower that wing. Yes, sir. Yes, we got to lower that wing because I was one of them.
I was one, too.
Yes, and
as I heard the brother speaking before, he tried Islam, but he hasn't tried al-Islam. And I remember I tried Islam, but I remember the first time I heard Imam Muhammad speak, it was like a blessing and a peaceful feeling came into my heart. You know, I never heard anything like that before, and that's when I really got into the studies of the Quran and things like that. So we really have to exemplify Islam and this perception that we have given, that we've been given in the best manner that we could. Because I think it has the ability to touch a lot more people who are like me before I even tried Islam in the streets. You know, I feel as though, like, wow, why didn't I hear this before? You know, I wouldn't have been out in the streets. I wish somebody told me this before, but it wasn't out there. It wasn't a public message, you know. I seen people walking around, you know, wearing skirts all day and said they was Muslim. Sorry I had to put it like that, but, you know, I seen people walking around
all
day.
No, you're right.
In Arab clothing all day and said they was Muslim, and I didn't see them doing anything that I wanted to emulate.
Right.
But thank God Allah brought me to it, how he seen that it was fit.
That's right. That's right. And that's the same way, but I didn't even know who Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, or Carter G. Woodson. I didn't know who all these people. I done went through all these years of school and didn't know none of these brothers. Didn't know none of the contributions. Go ahead, brother.
I come out of Baltimore City Public School, and the only field trip that I can remember taking by the time I graduated from 12th grade, they took us on a trip to the waste management factory. That's almost to say this now. This is one of the worst areas in Baltimore, the zone school for one of the worst areas in Baltimore, Park Heights. And the only field trip they took us on was the waste management factory. What is this telling us? Like, the best thing that you could do is be a worker here at this waste management factory. And the only book that I remember reading was a book about how white people came and conquered Africa. And most of the teachers in the school are white. So, I mean, like, the messages that we getting in the establishment and in the world is nothing good.
Right.
It's nothing for our benefit.
That's right. Cause you know, and I brought that, if you want to get some information, if you want to get knowledge is supposed to be, as Allah said, that you will be able to stand on your own step. That knowledge is supposed to help you to stand on your two feet, not have you dependent upon another. Because that's what they're doing now. They're getting fat with our money from off of student loan debts and everything, but they're giving us inferior knowledge. Because you don't been on these campuses. I don't been on these campuses. There's more point than there is education. Matter of fact, a lot of the educational programs are being cut out in college.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no importance. We place more importance on military weapons than we placed on education.
And this is a known fact. This is our team. This is obvious. We see this. You know, and so this is something that we have to go out and do. And Allah, and Imam told us, he said that our own selves obligate us to go out and do what we have to do. And it starts by one. Because it's a big, massive community. But just by that one, by you getting to that one, then that one don't go off and get to another. And then Allah gonna bring you to another. But he don't want us to be distracted. Because remember in the Quran, in the victory, Surah 8, when they was getting ready to go to battle, and they seen the big army that was coming from over with the Bedouins, and they seen all what they had going on with Busef Young and them, they was kind of frightened. And Allah said he always used a high number to overcome a big number. So we got this obligation, Allah, to operate, to work with us. So this is a situation where it's time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to step in from our work. Because it's our time. It's our time. And he gave us Imam Warranty Muhammad in our action. We all Imam Warranty Muhammad in our action. Because the word you deem means inheritor. Inheritor of the way of life. So we got inherit of that way of life, and we got to go out and exercise it for all of these brothers and sisters that's out there in the inner life, internal life, and the external life.
That's it.
Yes, sir. And this, you know, it's good work. And I like the difficulty. I challenge the difficulty. That's what I do.
Yes, sir.
I challenge the difficulty. You know, when I was incarcerated, I had 60 years over my head for principle of armed robbery. But little did I know when I went back and read that Georgetown Law Journal, that in order to give you a principle to armed robbery, they had to have a blueprint. So it says you got to have substantial evidence. Well, they didn't have substantial evidence. And I was ignorant, and I didn't know anything about law. But when the Al-Islam came, and I woke up, and I was able to get the rest of my life back, and Allah not only equipped me, he sent me home with my body and my same mind and my health, but he sent me with some sustenance. He gave me Imam Warren D. Muhammad. And when I say that, not just one individual, because they take that out of context. He gave me a family. Y'all are my family. Y'all are my lifeline. And if I cut you off, I'm cutting myself off. So, you understand? So he gave us a lifeline. And I've never been embraced by a family with this much love than I got what I'm seeing right now. But this is love. This is, like you were saying, love, and this is what we need on the street, brother. We need love. And we need that, and that love is the brother that's going to come out there for you, don't get in that trench for you and help you come out there. So this is what these brothers done in the first resurrection. From the pioneers that I done heard, they used to come out there and pull up on the street, put you in the van, brother, come on over here. They used to call them pistols instruments. You know, they put these instruments on the side, brother. Come here what Muhammad got to say, brother. So we you know, those days, we got something. And Allah tell us to make the call. And that's the call. He said, make the call to excellence. So if we got the excellence, which we got something that's working, that's what we need to go out there and bring to the flow board.
Yes, sir. It's only going to come through hard work and dedication, like you said.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it's going to come from the normal person, you know.
Right.
It, in the Quran, it was talking about how Musa, you know, was drawn out of the water, and water is drawn up to heat, it's drawn up to fire, and then he seen fire on a mountain. I mean, So the same way we have to go, we have to see people who are in the water, people who have that good heart, people who have that good spirit, and we have to, they're going to be attracted to it, but we have to be
That's
active.
Right.
You know, they're going to be, when they see the fire in us, they're going to be attracted to it.
That's
we have
right.
to go out and exemplify it. And I see it all the time. People ask me, you know, man, what is it about you? Like, I don't dress differently or anything. If you ask me, what is it about you, man? I you know, I'm a Muslim, you know.
I'm just all right.
That's right. And that's what they say. And that's who he is. Why say his manhood.
Right.
That's right. That's right. And that's and you when you bring it to him, that's how they be. Talking on the brother be sitting there, he was smoking a cigarette, and when that language, that truth go to hidden, they don't even put the cigarette up. They're sitting there listening. You never seen that happen. They're sitting there, whatever they had in their hand, they'll sit there, and some of them are going in their pocket. You'll be hitting them with so much too, because I told them a little bit, you know, it lets you know, when they go to pick that cigarette up, there's something going on in their neurons going to kick it. You know, they're thinking. They're thinking on that message that you brought to them, and that's what, that was waking them up.
Yeah.
That was waking them up. So when you see them, they're going moving around, pacing, because that message is in them and it's working. It's knocking the brains out of falsehood.
Yes, sir.
But that's all over. That's all they see. We're seeing right now, because a lot of see, look at the ground that's desolate. Well, we say that's unfathomable. Now, they say unfathomable is something that cannot be done. Right? But a lot of say they send water. He said, rain, then you will see it vegetate. So it's the same way with us. We that desolation. We that deadness that they see in us. You know, and a lot of people, they get disgusted when they see it. They see a brother with them pants there and just get disgusted. You know, like, oh, man, look what, you know, and it kind of got them so much. Well, hey, I'm making $150,000 a year. I got all my children through college, so I don't need to worry about that. I got my share of doing it. You know, so they're going to leave that on the wayside. No, and that's what that's a shaitan. They say hell is paying for good intention.
Right.
You know so throughout. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
A lot of this stuff that we see going on is just weak-mindedness. And people sagging, people not want to give back. Is this weak mindedness? You know, they like an elephant. Like, you know, you tie an elephant to a post when it's little, and when the elephant grow up, the elephant don't even know that he could, you know, bring the whole circus down. And Allah gives us something like that in the Quran when it in the surah of the elephant. You know, the elephant feel in Arabic it also means to be weak minded. And they say, how did Allah defeat the army of the elephants? He brought birds down. And what are the birds? The birds are high spiritual principles. And they were dropping stones on them. And what the Imam Muhammad said the stone was, it said it was scriptural principles. So it's the same thing that we need to do right now with this weak-mindedness that's going on in society. We need to build our establishments. We need to live our life by these spiritual principles. And that way we can tear down the weak-mindedness in our people.
That's right. Because also, by its nature, is bound to perish.
Bound to perish, right.
So we got to, so that's the solution. That's the solution, to build model communities. That's what unity bring about. That's what unity bring about. That's it. I went to a 2026 consensus meeting at Southeastern University, dealing with our little region over here. And they were talking about all the buildings that they're all the companies that's going to be coming down and getting all this land. Now, Imam put out a lecture called the Shared Freedom Space, beautiful lecture. And it was talking about that, about how the contractor will walk and see this open space and see opportunity. And I got some brothers together where we can pull the guy and say, brother, we need to buy some property. You know, we need to buy property. We need to get this thing. We need to start buying up for some property where we can put New Africa right there.
Yeah, that's what we got to do. We got to take ownership. We got to take ownership. I can't go up and somebody else is going to make you a slave for their own idea. But we have to take ownership. We have to claim our inheritance. We have to claim our property. We have to claim our rights, and we have to build right there.
That's right. That's right, and that'll take, because that's what the sister was saying on CNN dealing with the thing in Ferguson. She said that we don't have no political power.
Right.
Because we watch side. We right. one, Inside, we you know, Allah brought us to the complete life. He brought us to the spiritual, and he brought us to the material. He gave told us
right.
to have the mizan, to have the balance. So they just want us to be one-sided. So I can understand the brother when he was saying that, you know, they want to just keep you all Arabic and get you amazed with the Arabic and everything, but they ain't giving you no solution. Getting in there talking
exactly.
about when the time Ramadan going to start ain't going to answer our problems. So I understood what the brother Kadar was trying to bring to the table. Because when we look out what's going on in our neighborhoods, man, that's, we need to be addressing these situations here.
Because
right. that's how Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, got the revelation, because there was a problem.
Exactly.
They were
right
dancing around
the
Kaaba naked.
And we need to get
that's
to
right.
work just like now.
That's right. We got the blueprint laid for it. That's what we saying, the blueprint on Jay-Z, we got the blueprint. We got so much information, so much sustenance, that, man, we can't go wrong. The only thing, like, you know, I used to sit here, I was like, brother, I need to be put to use. I said, brother, use me up. Because I'm reading all these books and all these Ramadan sessions and everything, and it's like, man, this is presidential information.
Yeah.
This stuff that they said in the Pentagon, man, they couldn't even get close to this information that we sitting on right now. You know, so this is something very conducive for our time right now. Very conducive.
Yes, sir, brother. I just wanted to thank you and thank brother Tariq. I'm Imam Alfred's wife, Sister Fatima. I just wanted to thank you, brother, for all the knowledge that you've imparted on us today. We look forward. We really, really look forward to hearing from you often on Religion Means Alive. You are a breath of fresh air. So is the other brother. You two are a breath
yes,
of fresh air. And I just thank Allah so much. Thank Allah so much for you. Brother Abdul Latif, I wanted you, I was impressed so much with your rap that you had said at the convention. And
yes,
a lot of our brothers and sisters listen to Religion Means Alive, and they weren't able to come to the convention. So I was wondering, Brother Abdul Latif, if you would just extend one of those raps to us. I don't know, you know, how you guys, the language that you guys,
okay.
you know.
I surely can, sister. I surely will. All right,
yes.
I'll give you the one that I did at the convention.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Talking to my wife about 6 o'clock. She said, get up, soldier. Look, it's getting hot. I said, what you need, baby? She said, we need some hope. I said, wait, chill. Let me go and ask God, though. God, I need you. This time is shady. What's happening, soldier? How can I help you with this thing, bro? You see what's happening, what's going on up in this thing. They talk about we black. They talk about we white. They talk about Mexican. They talk about Chinese. Look how I'm supposed to survive. Look how I'm supposed to eat. Look how I'm supposed to breathe. My wife needs something. Look how I'm supposed to see. Look, read. 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 Look, God say read. 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 I know the devil mad at me. Satan pissed off. Like, soldier, how you gonna be the one that laid off? I said, I gotta do it at all costs. Jesus did it, so I gotta give it all. He led me to Muhammad because I asked for that. He said, I know they ain't gonna like you, even though you worship the man. I said, man, look, can't you see these times crazy, bro? They talking about I'm going to hell. Man, times shady, bro. You brought me over here to pay me all that? Nah, I brought you over here to show y'all this. My God, then I fell down like Moses fell down when the commandments came down. So everything I saw and everything I see and everything I think and everything I be, then I know the whole three. Then God told me to straight read, 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 read. God say read, 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 read. Look, shackles done left me. All the past restriction, everything that's going on, you see what happened to Whitney, everything Illuminati, secret society shaking hands, everything that's going on, they moving off the master plans, me, I'm moving off guard, a poor man with much wisdom, much wit, much study, much prime, much truth, much room, much truth, and much hope, and it's a true note. God say read.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Brother Imam Abdul Latif. Thank you also, Brother Tariq. Thank all of you for listening. Peace be on
yes,
our incredible listening audience. We really appreciate this. I went to the Muslim convention title theme, Reviving Our Unity Through the Legacy of Excellence. And I must tell you that sometime in the history of my being in this community, I was concerned about this community. I even worried about this community. But what I saw at this convention, the 2014 convention, convinced me beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are in excellent hands. And in fact, I was looking, I said, who are we going to use to replace some of these leaders in these major cities? You know, you always, no team is stronger than this bench. No team is stronger than this second string. But sometimes I'm told, and I'm not a sports fan, that the people sitting on the bench are better than the ones who are actually playing on the main team. And when I see brothers like Imam Abdul Latif and Brother Tariq, I say this community doesn't have anything at all to worry about. And in fact, we have replacements for these major cities. And as we get stronger and stronger and stronger, we're going to really have a true reconciliation. What would be the reconciliation? It's the same thing that John saw in the Bible. He said he saw a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven. What is this new heaven? We are still talking about Ferguson, Missouri. Still on the theme. And I'm going to give an address in Brooklyn sometime next month. It's titled, Shot Down, How We Get Back Up. We want to find out where we were shot down from and what's going on. So just be patient with us as we strive to address the concerns of our people. We're not going to sound like Reverend Alfred C. Shopton. We're not going to sound like Louis Farrakhan. We're not going to sound like Jesse Lewis Jackson. We're not going to sound like Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson, Reverend Al C. Shopton, Minister Louis Farrakhan. What we have is coming straight from the Quran. It has been given to us by the man who was never shot down. That is Imam Waruddin Muhammad. I'm telling you.
Oh, wait.
This convention showed me what was inside. So what happened to the earth when it convulsed? That means from the people, when they convulse, let's open up and we see Imam Abdul Latif. Open up and we see people like Brother Tariq. Open up and we see people like Ikra Amadioun. Open up and Ismail Qadar. Open up. And new leaders are coming forth from the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Open up. And we see brothers like Sonny, great businessman. We are on our way to the promised land. I now understand what the Spirit meant when Dr. King said, I believe, and I can say Dr. King doesn't have to say I believe, I know we will get to the promised land.
No, right,
he said, I may not get there. I know we got some difficult days ahead. We got some difficult days. But I want to tell our people in Ferguson, Missouri. I want to tell our people in Harlem, New York. I want to tell our people in the south side of Chicago. I want to tell that young boy that mama left him in the house by himself. He doesn't have any. But no, I ain't going to eat tomorrow. And good, better days ahead for you. I want to tell that brother that's unemployed, doesn't have a job, hopeless. All he has is a burner in his pocket, and he's thinking about taking something from somebody. Hope is on the way, and help is on the way. God is going to help us to establish New Africa. No longer will people shoot us down in the streets and refuse to even cover our bodies. You would cover a dog up.
You would even cover a dog up.
I seen the Saturday people cover a dog up and give a more dignity than they have given our own people. So I said to the family of Michael Brown, I said to the family of all the others who've been victimized, killed at the hand of law enforcement authorities. I also say to those who've been killed at the hands of our own people, better days are here. New Africa is on its way. We want to know how we got into this circumstance. How did we get in this situation? How did, where are we? Where are we going from here? That we don't. We want solutions, but we first have to have an analysis. Brother Abdul Latif talked about a famine in the hearing of the Word of God. We obviously know that the Quran physically is among us. We obviously know the Bible is physically among us. We obviously know that the Torah is physically among us. We even know that the Bhagavad Gita is physically among us. But the two, three heavenly religions look as though that they don't exist. When we see a group ISIS cutting people's heads off, when we see an African-American community, we shooting people down. It's like the great Dr. King has never appeared. When we see burnt-out buildings in our neighborhood, it looks as though the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has never appeared. When we look at our TV screen, it looks as though Charlotte Hawkins Brown never had come about. It looks like Booker D. Washington didn't exist. I thank the great Charlotte Hawkins Brown as one of the greatest purveyors of culture and civilization. And we need to know the history of these great people. We need to know even the history of people like Mother Drexel, who came down to Louisiana and founded Xavier University so our people could be educated. She wasn't an African-American. She was a Caucasian woman.
That's right.
Her fortune. It took her wealth. All of her money. And to build a university that still exists there in New Orleans, Louisiana. We need to know this. So, dear beloved people, this is the first Sunday, and the first focus is education. Notice that God told the prophet, he didn't introduce himself to the prophet as Allah. He didn't introduce himself to the prophet as the Lord. He didn't introduce the prophet to anything. He said to him, read. And the prophet said, I can't read. Gabriel pressed him so hard. So then the prophet said that God told him, read in the name of our Lord. And that's what we need to do, is read. Read our circumstances. Read our situation. Read where we are mentally, physically, and spiritually. Now let us read the situation and find out what has happened to us as a people and why we're in the circumstances and how we're going to get out of the circumstances and how we're going to establish New Africa. See, we can just talk about New Africa. We can even talk about the Quran. We can talk about the Bible. It can be just rhetoric. Just something to say. Just a conversation piece. Just a jive conversation. God tell you he's getting ready to become a millionaire. He hasn't even gotten out of bed. Now, you know he's jiving. People say in Chicago when I was coming up, they say he ain't going to even bust a grape. So here's a guy, he's just talking. He's just jawjacking.
That's right.
Got no real effort to even achieve the dream. A plan is a nightmare. Let us now get us out of the nightmare and the slumber. Because now on my list, the first night prayer is, I see a lot of Kairun. The word of God, I see a lot of Kairun, and I own that the word of God is better than sleep.
That's right.
We don't believe God sleep, but we know people sleep. The Bible had it wrong when it said, rise, O Lord, No, you didn't tell God to rise. He's already working constantly. He didn't even have to work on us. He's telling us to read in the name of our Lord who created thee. Huh? From that clean. That which is brings about love and affection. Give it up, people. We need to go back. Then we can bring this up to the fullness. We can bring this up to the fullness of where we are today, and we can propose solutions for our people's problems. African Americans that were brought here were from the Fulus, they were from the Yoruba, they were from the Igbos, they were even from the Hausas, they were from the Wallops. They were from the Wallop people. There were many people. But all of us, from strong Punta people, all these strong people found themselves dragged through West Africa, sometimes 1,000 miles or more, and brought to shores of the Western Hemisphere to be slaves. That's the backdrop we have to understand. In many cases, greedy leaders, negligent leaders, corrupt leaders, conspired with other corrupt outsiders, wherein we as a people were put under slavery, put under the worst conditions known to man, slavery, suffering, and death. That's why we don't misread what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. We know that that was mere economic slavery, that in our neighborhood we don't own the businesses, the school board, the means of production and government. We know we were herded like animals out of St. Louis into the suburb and cut off, all a part of a scheme. No different from the scheme that took place in West Africa. No different than the scheme that took place in Virginia, in Mississippi, in Georgia, in Alabama, in New York, in New Jersey. Did you know they had slaves in New Jersey and New York too? Northern cities did. So we don't let the North get by. We don't let them escape. They also participated openly in the enslavement of us. So why do I bring all of this up? Because Imam Muhammad said you should have a caution, and you won't have a caution unless you understand the history of what has happened to you. Hmm? You should follow in America with a yellow light, with caution. And that's why you need leaders that are fit, not leaders that get and talk over your head. Because that's the first thing our people said when they came and when they gathered in the swamps, and when they gathered in the backwoods, when they gathered in private, they used to have a saying, over my head, I see trouble. Over my head, I heard music. And they concluded, just like Abraham concluded, there must be a God somewhere. Because for hundreds of years that they stopped the slaves, don't think that they ended slavery. Because they were benevolent. No, they ended slavery to continue slavery. I mean, I don't mean they ended the slave trade. The great W.E.B. Du Bois wrote a book called The Suppression of the African Slave Trade. Why did they suppress it? Because they thought by then they had knocked out all the light. And they didn't want any more Africans coming here who could pass the light of the mother tongue, the light of the culture, the light of the spirit, the light of the will of our particular culture to to actually have the people to participate in developing our life. They want to smother that out. Our people studying the situation, reading, concluded that has to be over my head. I see trouble. They knew that something was going to change. He said, and I heard music. They looked at the sun. They looked at the moon. They looked at the stars. And they knew that there was a synchronicity. And out of that synchronicity, they concluded there had to be a God somewhere. The white man was telling them that he is God. And you, God, we don't even listen to you because you're not even human. You are subhuman. One of the Caucasians, devils, he was no devil, Caucasian, he was a devil, said in the House of Burgesses, the legislature of Virginia, we think we have snuffed out all the light of them and reduced them to a beast. What does this have to do with Ferguson? A lot. What does it have to do with Africa, New Africa? A lot. What does this have to do with our lands today where you find fried chicken spots where they disrespect our women and call our women honey and sweetie? Huh? It has a lot to do with it. What do my sons call a circle of stoppage? Six fast food restaurants all together, all of them stepping out pocket with millions of dollars while hollering in private, As-salamu alaykum. Is it any different than those invaders that came into West Africa? Is it any different than what's happening in the Caribbean with other ethnic groups controlling the commerce there? Is it any different than where you be in Harlem, East St. Louis, Southside Chicago, invaders? But remember, invaders can never take you over if you have your own defense system. So what are we talking about in this first Sunday? Education for responsibility. Well, how we want to analyze first how we were shot down and how we're going to get back up. The shooting of Michael Brown, the killing, the murder of Michael Brown, is symbolic of what's happening to us as a people. That's what's happening. A vulnerable people that can be laughed at in the eyes of the world. Okay, how did we get in this situation? We need to know that we were an innocent people until the civil rights movement came along, not a reflection upon Dr. King and his true, sincere followers. But the enemy made an interpretation that caused us to break out of the cold sweat. They told us, let it all hang out. They told us, do your thing. They told you, I don't tell you to sock it to. They told us in the 60s and 70s, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. This was no African-American writing those kind of songs. These were our enemies, the Satan himself, his tribe, putting that kind of music and culture. Imam Muhammad said, if we want to get our people back, we have to address them through the culture. This is why Brother Imam Abdul Latif and Brother Ismail Qadar are so important, and other very important groups. We're going to go to every neighborhood where we are. We know they ain't going to come to us. We know many of our people are so claustrophobic. They've been dogged in the church. They've been dogged in the mosque. They've been kept out of the large house. They're never going to come to any place. We got to go to them. So religion means alive. Got to go into the neighborhoods with music, with entertainment, with culture, with commerce. And dear beloved people, it's good that other people are scared to come in our neighborhood. That means for you business people, we'll talk about that next week, that's a whole market of people for us. We're about to ready now
to raise up an army. They won't have guns. They won't have knives. They will be armed with Imam W.D. Muhammad's teachings. They will be armed with the Muslim Journal or Graceline. Some publication telling us what Imam Muhammad says. They will be armed with order books that take orders for New Africa water. We got a brother who has a spring. They will be armed to sell belts and products that we have, detergent. We're going to put an army back on the streets, and they're going to love our people. I promise that none of you will enter paradise until you have faith, and none of you will have faith until you love one another. Huh? That's what the prophet said. Line full gender to Hashtag Tukminu. Well, I took the news to Hazel. None of you will enter paradise until you have faith. Faith in who? Faith in God. Faith in that you will meet God. As our people say, soon and very soon, we're going to meet God. And this few seconds that we are on this earth will be pale to the millions of eons of time before we meet the judgment Father. That's why we're going to participate. The president of Montez is participating. Just got word from him today. He's coming to New York for the world climate change. We, the Muslims, the son of Imam W.D. Muhammad, is going to stand with all the world leaders for the climate change march. We're going to stand. I'm asking you to come out and stand with us. We are the Khalifa to Allah, meaning the ruler of earth. Everybody wanted to say, when are we going to get another leader? You got one. Every time you go into the mirror, say, I'm the leader. I want you to repeat that. God says to us in the Quran, you are a free mind in the city. He's made you the Khalifa. We're the responsible ones. Huh? Stop looking for one leader. Look for a group. But yes, there has to be one that represents us. And that happens to be Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad al-Thani, the second. I didn't have the choice of making him. I said I followed Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, right? And he appointed him. He could have appointed several other people. He knew the leadership. He knew the people. He put Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad the second of Mosque Cares over his organization after he resigned from the leadership. Some of you might have heard already. They threw somebody out of the convention. I don't know. I didn't expect to talk like this, but God has guided me into this direction, and I'm going to talk with what God says. He's inspiring me. Nobody was thrown out of the convention. The person that's supposed to be thrown off presided at the meeting. But I did have the privilege and honor of addressing the imams, and I gave them some charged words. I think they're all right by now. I'm sure they're going to get that program together. And it doesn't matter whether they decide to get it together or not. Because guess what? We're coming to your cities. We're going to make sure that, firstly, 41 million African-Americans, they may be walking around with Daisy Duke pants on instead of being mothers. They may be walking around with baggy pants instead of being men. They may be walking around with muscle shirts on. But I believe you, me. When the word from our Lord hit them, they will be just like Imam Abdul Latif. And we're going to produce powerful, powerful educators. We're going to produce powerful business persons. I see it. I listened to a brother yesterday on the radio program, and there he is talking about technology. You don't think God is mindful that you're taking a behind whipping? That he ain't going to give you something equal and to make you superior to Bill Gates and Warren Buffett? You don't believe that? If you stay faithful to what God has given you, didn't he say in the Quran, Wuwajednikas, Elan for Afghana? He found you in need and he enriched you. This is what our Lord is going to do. He is, and we say our Lord, we talking about the one who made the heavens and the earth, not Mr. Farad. Not one who came in nobody's person. Not, isn't that something? People are still running around talking about reconciliating with somebody who is teaching that God is a man. Can you imagine God in the bathroom? God spitting. God urinating. He's anybody's person. What a horrible statement to be teaching in 2014. I'm going to reconciliate with that lie. I'm going to reconciliate with that there's no life after death. I don't care how much. You see, if you put a pig in a Brioni suit, he's a pig. Huh? If you put him in a tuxedo, he's a pig. Huh? If you put him in the Walled Up story, he's still a pig. So if you take a concept called the Nation of Islam and put it in the people's mind and tell them that there's no life after death, and on the other side, you tell them that there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is meant, you are mixing up truth and falsehood. And one of the first verses I remembered from the Quran that I've learned, mix not up truth and falsehood, neither hide the truth while you know it. So I rebuke in the reconciliation with Larry Ford. I rebuke in the reconciliation with Farrakhan. And I accept and love and embrace every sincere member of the Nation of Islam under Minister Farrakhan. I accept them in that purity and that sincerity, but I will never mislead them to tell them that I can reconcile with them. I'm going to reconcile with people who are telling people lies. I'm going to reconcile. I still reconcile with the FOI, a Tin Hut. I reconcile with the MGT that cooked the bean soup. I reconcile with the brown rice, but I can never reconcile with something that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to abandon. He said, well, you know better, do better. Hmm? No man is God. Read your Our Savior has arrived. Huh? Tell the people that that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, my boy, got it. Imam Wahid Muhammad, son, go and preach that gospel anywhere. And what was Imam Muhammad teaching? There's no God but God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Hmm? That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that's the direction he gave us. We haven't abandoned, I didn't mean to get on this, but it's coming to me. We have never abandoned do for self. We never abandoned race, dignity. We will never abandon that. We wouldn't be good Muslims if we did. Huh? Muhammad got the revelation because he was first concerned about his people. And you will never get this revelation. You will never get the Quran until you are concerned about your own people. Yeah, that's the only way we get it. We're not going to get it any other way. I like what the brother said. He said he tried Islam. Both brothers said they tried Islam, and then they wanted to get Al-Islam. We see what Islam is doing in the world today. Islam ain't doing very much in the world but making a boo-boo of itself. Look at Iraq. Look at Iran. Look at ISIS. They on ice. They're on a spiritual iceberg, soon to be melted by the heat of one of them Stinger missiles. See, they don't know what they're playing with. You don't play with Sam. That uncle don't play. He gonna light them up. So that's enough of that one. But I want to get back to how we got into this situation, how we get out of the situation, and what is our projection for the future. So innocent people prayed for God to deliver them. They struggled. There must be a God somewhere that was still among them, Muslims. There in Angola, Louisiana, there's still traces of Muslims that were brought here. We know Abdul Rahman in Mississippi. We know of Ibn Saeed. That's just much evidence of this plethora of free persons were stolen from Africa, brought to America, were Muslims. But they couldn't practice Islam in America, Al-Islam. Some of our leaders were so wise, that they told the Caucasian they were writing the Bible when they were actually writing the Quran. This is history. This is fact. You can read Terry Sullivan's book, Prince Among Slaves. So these wise men and wise women did their best to preserve us. And America started having great problems. And they called for their religious leaders, like our business people, to call for us to go forth and teach. That's what needs to happen. We have to understand some, dear people. Dawah is education. That's why the first Sunday we put education on. You really understand properly, that's the first thing you do in the morning is educate yourself in what? The Quran. And the Quran is a book with no doubt in it. It is a guide. It's a manual. Manual for what? A manual for building a civilization. That's what it is. It's a manual for building a civilization. How do you think the airplane came about? How do you think medicine came about? Because people dug into the Quran, science, to read, as Brother Imam Abdul Latif said, read. They read the creation. And guess what? We are going to read the creation, and we're going to develop some of the greatest medical experts in the world. I was happy to meet at our convention physicians, lawyers, engineers, electricians, plumbers, government people. We have every entertainer. We have everything we need as a people. First, as Muslim people, and as an ethnic group, to build the greatest civilization ever to have appeared on the planet Earth. That's why we're going to the World Climate Change Conference. That's why we're going to be there. Because, in fact, we're going to change how we do industry in America. We're going to change how we do industry in the world. Huh? We're not going to pollute the world. That's why we got to have educational responsibility. We have to hear what our beloved leader, Imam Muhammad, said. He said, our schools should be bigger than our messages. And he said, our businesses should be bigger than our schools. And that's what it means, mountains. That's what Dr. King was talking about, mountaintops. Yeah, we're going to have mountains of educational institutions. As my dear friend, Brother D. Shackle puts it, we will have to take on the responsibility ourselves for educating our children from K through, or as Sister Taliba put it, from the womb to the tomb. Before that child is in the womb, we have to prepare that child to be rulers of the universe. So don't think we are helpless. Don't think we are a people that don't have the ability to offer true hope to our people. So struggling in this darkness, this mental, this moral and spiritual darkness, people had to develop the physical courage to allow people to know that there was life in the womb, and out popped Babel progeny. Even on their way to America, African people resisted slavery, took over the ship. Some of them actually took over the ship and went back to Africa. So don't ever think that we were ever satisfied and didn't resist slavery. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was for us to go into slavery so he could make a new people, a new ruler on the earth. He said, I'm about to make a ruler, a khalifa. They thought they had plotted to destroy us as a people. Some of them still think, most of the big rulers think they still have that plan, but God says the game to them, or Makarul, or Makarullah, or Allahu Khairin Makarin. They plot and God plots. And God is the best of plotters. Hmm? The enemies of Imam W.D. Muhammad think they have outplotted us. They think they plotted. They think God's outplotting them. I didn't know until last week about Brother Abdul Latif. I didn't know about these young, powerful giants. Where are we going to find leaders to replace these bad leaders? Man, I ain't worried no more. I'm not worried one bit. Oh, there's another Malcolm in the wing. There's a Minister James Shabazz in the wing. Oh, yeah, there's a Sultan Muhammad in the wing. There are the great ministers and great captains. Oh, you won't have captains again? They won't be captains. They'll be governors. The imams are responsible for da'wah and leadership, but there's somebody has to be responsible for governing the people. They won't be dictators. They won't be ruthless. They'll know how to mobilize the resources. They'll know how to bring educated people forward. That's what that's what a leader's job is, to bring vision. He looks down the wheel of time and says, we need 80,000 doctors. So let us make sure that we get 40% of them. Hmm? You know, we've been so underrepresented in the profession. Shouldn't we be the ones that develop half the physicians that are needed in America? Hmm? Shouldn't we develop half of the pharmacists that are needed in America? We should develop half of the nurses that are needed in America, half of the physician assistants that are needed in America. See, you know why I'm so passionate about medicine? Because I felt, God, I want my personal desire was to be a physician. But now I'm equally passionate about making the mindset that will produce physicians and demythologizing the formation of physicians. I said yesterday on the program that there are three ways that you get out of the minefield of the American morass that is the underpinnings of America. It is the professions. It is the business. See, I think you should take notes on this. You need to pass this down to the rest of our people. And I'm reiterating what Imam Muhammad said. I didn't get this. Professions, business, and the trades. So what we have to have? We have to have even pre-vocational centers. I looked at a brother, he came in, he was shining like new money. Man, his wife, she's smiling, they got a big light on their face. But I learned his narrative. He'd been a gangbanger. Shot in the leg. Stumbled into one of our mosques and stumbled into our main mosque where Imam Warabuddin Muhammad was teaching. Stumbled out of there, had fish in his hand, had books in his hands, had papers in his hand. Went and got him a job driving taxis, got into the basic adult education class at Masjid Amilad Muhammad. Went on back to school, got him a GED. He didn't even qualify for a GED. Some of us don't even know that. In order to get a GED, you got to have more than a basic adult education. Now, suppose we went to that brother who got those baggy pants, who was illiterate. That sister got those Daisy Dukes that feel she could be nothing but a sugar mama, but that she going to imitate Nikki. Oh, I know who she is. Really have made her, that poor young lady, into Mickey Mouse. That's why I always say Mickey. But she's really Nicki Minaj, and that's I'm sure she didn't choose that license. Some satanic person created that image for her, made her like some type of something out of the Southern Draw. See, whatever you see that's in the public arena of a culture, they've already prepared it in their fantasy world, and they just have built it. All of it's nothing but some either the story of the life. Birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Everything they do in the culture is that. Now, either some of the fall of Satan. You follow all those themes, that's all it is. The reiteration, recapitulation, the retelling of that tale. That, and you know what? The ultimate result of that tale is inferiority for the African-American people and the dumbing down and fooling of the rest of the American people. And they use the African-American spirit. That's why I call Mickey Minaj. Mickey. Why Mickey? They Mickey it. They Mickey it. Huh? Because she, her job is to snatch hundreds of thousands, if not millions of women, out of the role of being the mothers of civilization and make them whores and harlots. Ho, ho, ho. Okay? I'm giving you a little bit of the Christmas message, huh? The reverse Christmas message. Ho, ho, ho. Ancient Babylon was a ho. Rome was a ho. And America's a ho. Ho, ho, ho. From the early teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad, we're busting up the scheme. Allah said, fight the schemes of Satan, for they're weak. And what we need is public education for these 41 million people. Let's continue to see how we got in this situation and talk to you. We're always on that subject. We're always on that subject. We don't never forget where we're at. God has guided us to take this message to our people. So, the knock on the door of the womb gave a prophet, Nat Turner, and the greatest of them all was Denmark Beatty. Why was Beatty so important? Beatty was important because Beatty recognized that the genetic traits the African people would intuit, that if you were a Yoruba, they hung out with Yoruba. They wouldn't plot with nobody who didn't have a Yoruba mother. They didn't plot with somebody who had a Hausa mother. They would work only with Hausas. All of the slave rebellions were tribal-based. And the great Denmark Vesey, purple, full of spiritual jujitsu. He got a man named Mungo Park. Mungo Parks was one of the greatest, both one of the greatest witch doctors South Carolina had ever seen. He claimed he could put a spell on the white man that would cause his blonde, half blue eyes to disappear. Mungo Parks convinced the people that if they rose up with him, they would be able to destroy slavery. But the plot was cooked up by Denmark Vesey, who was crippled. But the Caucasians trusted him so much that they allowed him to take ships to Barbados to bring rum and slaves back. Here's a man that appeared in the slave master's house. That's why that stuff Malcolm talked about was nonsense. He was what you would call a house slave. But this house slave, this house slave led a rebellion, the first rebellion of African people that was a unified race. See, even Gabriel Prosser was actually betrayed by the members of his own tribe. Because, again, you have to understand slavery, and a lot of you all don't know the history of slavery. You haven't studied it. So you don't know what happened on the plantation. You need to study it so you can understand those tendencies in us, how they mingled the genes of opposites. Somebody you were occurring on a war with, they put those genes in us. So you have a person that's fighting, but the mother hated the father. They had wars that go back thousands of years, and you put that genetic mix. That's why you have this war going on in your genes. That's why we have these wars going on in our genes. That's why you have to be slowed down and study yourself. That's why you have to examine. That's why we have to have fit leaders, because there's a war even going on in our genetic makeup. And let's not forget, I always say, when somebody come and tell me some horrible story about what some African-Americans done, you know what I say to them? Get a white man an A. give him an A. These people concocted one of the worst plots in the history of humanity. Now, continue on, and you'll understand the plan of God, and you see what God is doing with us and how we are going to be victorious. God didn't want us to be sick. See, they had said that the African slaves were nothing but brutes and animals, even though the slave rebellions caused Toussaint Louverture to rise up in Haiti and slaughter about 25,000 Caucasians and beat Napoleon back. God was building something greater than that. He wanted us to be seen as something greater than a physical force. And out popped Frederick Douglass. An intellect, an eloquent intellect that went around the world fighting our cause. So much so that he convinced Lincoln to free us and let us come into the army. What a master strategy. What a genius. What a blessed man. That superego. That superhuman being, so much so that if scripture were being written, he would be on the pages of scripture. But it so happened that prophecy had ended with Muhammad. So there was no need for a scripture, but let me tell you something. It's certainly a sign for the world to study our history. Frederick Douglass gave a beautiful representation of us on the outside. But that wasn't enough. God wanted something else to happen. And what did he want to happen next? He wanted us to have an internal life. We were freed legally from shackle slavery with some amendment, I believe. Now, why in the hell you got to have an amendment when you already teach that the world, that all men are created equal? Because America was a land of contradictions, is a land of experimentation. But we have to understand that fragile concept called America, America, from the word Amir, the Arabic word, the Quranic language word, which means to command. But Booker D. Washington rose up for what purpose? To bring us out of slavery, to civilize us, to recenter us back with our humanity, and to develop an internal life. Where is Booker D. Washington now that he's really needed? Along with the scientist, scholar, and religious man, George Washington Carver, that reconnected us back to our nature. But there was another one that rose up by God's permission. Timothy Dwight. All you Moors, listen closely. Timothy Noble Dwight. Mr. Strong, we don't even know where history has also been in one of my fields of endeavor. And studying Drew Ali, we couldn't even find the county was. That's how much of a mystery was. No accurate records, to my knowledge, have even been developed. But he came up and said he was a Moorish American. Now, how did you get the commission to teach our people Islam in 1910, when our people were still calling themselves Negroes after being called Africans? Who rose up and said, you are part of the ancient Moabites. You're the ancient Moors. And pointed toward Islam, say you're a Muslim, you're a Moor, and you're an American. Keep that in mind. But right inside the halls of Christianity was another man. God had risen up. And that man was Benjamin Elijah Mays, who wrote his thesis at the University of Chicago on the pagan origins of Christianity. In the church, he had raised the question. Said we got to have an educated clergy. We have to de-emphasize the pagan ideas. We have to have an educated clergy that does more than excite the people. But yet in the halls of the educational arena rose a man who didn't start the school until high school until he was 18 years old. That is none other than Booker D. Carter Godwin Woodson. Worked in the Philippines, commented about, pointed out on the pages of history, Islam. And Carter Woodson wrote one of the greatest classics that should be required reading for anyone studying anything about African-American people. It is relevant today as it was when it was written. It is called The Miseducation of the Negro. And Imam Muhammad said that would have been enough to free us. We're talking about people of faith. We're not W.B. Du Bois should be mentioned, but these were people who stood up on faith and complete rationalization and were independent of the white Western mind. Another time we'll discuss W.E.B. Du Bois. Now, if another man rises up in the halls of Christianity just by studying nature, the student of Dr. Nagy, right in the church, and he sees Jesus Christ as a teacher and not as God. I speak of none other than Dr. Howard K. Thurman, Daytona Beach, Florida, the home also of Murray McLeod Bethune. He rose up. What was he rising up for? To give us another turn in the direction that God wanted us to have. And then God calls a stranger to come in with a strange idea, partially from Drew, partially from Booker D. Washington, lots of it from Drew Allen, part of it from Bishop Turner, who said if God is a man, he has to be a black man. That's Bishop Turner, bishop in the AME church. And out of that context, out of that conundrum, came the Honorable Elijah Muhammad preaching a message of Islam that was totally the opposite of Islam. Taught that there is no God but God and he has to be a man. No life after death. Did it right here. Fast during the month of December. Your pilgrimage, really, he didn't teach it, but we taught it, certainly, that you don't need to go to Mecca, you go to Chicago, you made your pilgrimage. So he taught just the opposite. Now, remember, it was not his fault. He was taught this by a foreigner by the name of Farad Muhammad, who gave him this idea and introduced us to something called Yaqub's history. Now, out of that conundrum, out of the two lines of thinking, out of Mays, out of Thurman, came Dr. Martin Luther King, a new kind of Christian preacher that is not really preaching Trinitarian doctrine. And out of this, there rises up another man right in the Islam and the line of Drew, the man that Brother Abdul Latif is telling us about, that prayed to God on a cold September day to show him the right concept of God. That was Imam Wahabuddin Muhammad. And as soon as he began to get the idea, the right idea of God, he began to teach Minister Malcolm, Minister Farrakhan, and all of the ministers, by Honorable Elijah Muhammad's permission, Al-Islam. Right there in Philadelphia. That's why Philadelphia is being targeted today with a reconciliation conference, because Imam Muhammad had already started in the 50s, the Islamization of America, the Islamization of the African-American people. do you see now these two screens? Frederick Douglass working on the inner life, on the outer life. Booker T. Washington working on the inner life. And now that this strange teachings of Islam, as Minister Nathaniel Muhammad said, the Ambulance Muhammad's oldest son, he said, what? He said, my father, daddy, taught Islam. Wallace taught Al-Islam. He didn't come teaching the lessons. He didn't come teaching fraud with God. He came, opened up his first address with the dead must rise. Is it incumbent upon God to raise the dead? Was man created without purpose? This is what Imam Muhammad said February 26, 1975. And a new revolution has started. Millions upon 2 million, over a million people had come to sit at his table and be taught. Hundreds of thousands and tens of millions were taught by Dr. King. But Satan was not going to take this sitting down. He brought Bootsy Randolph. He brought Rick James. He brought Slough. He filled the airways with filth. He came out with Superfly. He came out with the Mac. He came out with the situational ethical philosophy that is right could be right sometimes, wrong could be sometimes. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. Billy Paul pulverized a song, Me and Mrs. Jones. Okay to commit adultery. People might have been doing that, but God knows it was not justified, but now it's in the public airways. It started filling our people up. Stop it. First, when Imam Muhammad comes out, they tell the people that he is an Uncle Tom. Mr. Farrakhan start teaching the people that he hated his father. Here's a man that almost broke down emotionally at his father's funeral. Physically. Choked. And here he's being attacked. But God let that happen so he could bring in a man that would teach the right principles of Al-Islam that had been corrupted, that had been misrepresented and systematically over a period of 10 years. He brought us completely into Al-Islam, not Sunni Islam, and brought us completely into a new understanding that African Americans are a new people. We're not Africans. We're not Europeans. We're not Indians. Isn't this color consciousness? Isn't it this idea of the black light, all this crazy stuff that we have of colorism, still though we suffer from it? But Imam Muhammad smashed that made it possible for a man from Africa, born of a European woman, to feel comfortable enough to elbow himself up on the global stage and proclaim to the world and ran against a white woman and won the presidency of the United States of America. That's all the workings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. He has remade the world. And what has happened in our masjids, in our churches, we have hidden this man. God has raised up for you and I a liberator to liberate us from ignorance, to liberate us from economic inequality. To liberate. Let me just say something while we talk about this economic inequality. Long before this question of redistribution of the wealth, of economic equality, Imam Muhammad told the Imam to go back and tell our populations to open up fast food restaurants and pay more than McDonald's pay. Long before this man, Mr. Schultz, of the Starbucks Corporation, long before the head of, even before Costco's existence, Imam Muhammad was advocating that we give the people a living wage, give them a four-day work week. And he said we would then induce the rest of the business people to look wicked people. This is a part of Satan's scheme to take us out of the promised land, to knock us out. It is a plan of Satan to wrap us up, then fill us up with gangster rap and have us killing each other. That we wouldn't be an industrial people. But God is defeating them. And when I heard Brother Imam Abdul Latif, when I heard other young men, Ismael Kadar, talking industrial, I know that we are on our way to beating Satan behind. I know that Satan is weakened. And he's going to come at us from the right. He's going to come claiming that we need to learn Quranic Arabic. He's going to come telling us you need to learn technical Islam. He's going to come smiling at us. He's going to come telling us you're inferior. He's going to come with all those schemes on the right. He's not going to come and tell you that you should be an industrial business person. He's not going to come and tell you that you should stand up and that the Quran is a book to make you a first-class citizen of the world. He's not going to tell you that. They're going to send leaders in to tell you that you should be subordinate. They're going to tell you that you should give yourself over to other people. That's what they're going to tell you. That's the scheme of Satan. I'm not talking about people who are doing this work. They are being influenced directly by the Satan himself. They don't want the religion that God has given us through Imam Waqidin Muhammad, which is the same religion that the Prophet Muhammad had. The Prophet Muhammad built an industrious people, a people that defeated the Roman Empire, the people that defeated the Babylonian Empire, the people that defeated even the Persians. They were so strong in the sciences. They were so strong in math. They were so strong even in restoring the classics of the Western world. Did you know that the Muslims, after Muhammad restored philosophy, they brought back Plato? They're the ones who actually published Socrates. They translated this. The Muslims in Spain went ahead and actually the Jews had that great golden era. This is what's getting ready to come about in America. We're on our way to that. So, brother, you're going to pull your pants up. You're going to be industrious. You're going to be competitors as scientists. You're going to be competitors as technologists. You're going to be competitive in industry. We're going to bring industry back to America. We're going to show up how to make steel at a lower cost. That's what our young people, that's why we have to have schools. That's why we have to have elementary school. That's why the Claire Muhammad system must be revived, built, expanded. And we can do it. God has given me a strategy to build our schools. We got thousands of retired teachers from among even the Muslim community and others who will work to help us establish schools. And people will send out children from everywhere to learn at the feet of Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad. They'll learn to be competitors. They'll learn that they ought to be world leaders. They will learn that they will not cheapen themselves with drugs, alcohol, those things. They will learn to develop family lives. They will learn to be men. They will learn to be competitive men. They will learn that they can compete on the football field, if they can compete on the basketball court, if they can compete in the boxing ring and win. Even compete in golf, that they can win an arena of education. We can take the historical African-American colleges that are teetering on the brink of bankruptcy. Did you all know that Howard University is almost bankrupt? They're almost talking about closing their hospital up. Now, where is the African-American leadership on this? I'm going to be week after next in Washington, D.C., at the Congressional Black Caucus. I ask you to join me. I want to meet with our Congress people. I want to meet with them and inspire them to stand up and say, not to beg the government, but let's raise $22 billion from our own people and make Howard University a world-class university. Let's make it the kind of university it was when Dr. Eric Williams was there, when Dr. Ralph Bunch was there, when Dr. E. Franklin Frazier was there. When it was a great institution. policy. Let's build a system of education from and among our own people. Let's build a pre-K system that teach our mothers how to raise boys who can be greater than Bill Gates. Teach our daughters the mother civilization that will supersede anything that's been on the planet Earth. Teach our people how to reform our people. You should be really concerned and pained that our women are having babies out of wedlock. You should be concerned that our men think they're going to get on up like a sex machine. No, you're going to be responsible fathers. That's why you people who are good at rap, you are good at music, you're good at the gospel. Let's join in a crusade, a campaign to build a cultural life for our people. Let's build a lifestyle and not a death style for our people. Let's build an industrial plan for our people. Let's build an economic plan for our people. That's why I don't care. I had to ride a bus 12 hours to Chicago. If I had to walk to Chicago, I'd walk to Chicago. This life of this community is more important than anything on the planet Earth, because it is the thing that God wants. God wants us to give this life. And that's why we're going to go to Ferguson, Missouri. We ain't going to stop in Ferguson, Missouri. We're going to East St. Louis, Missouri. We're going to Camden, New Jersey. We're going to wherever our people are in trouble. And wherever we are, we're in trouble. Because we don't have the word of God and the commitment from the word of God and the commitment of our spirit, of our mind, our body, and will that we are dedicated to God, just like our people said when they first came here. They came here saying, over my head, I see trouble. Over my head, I heard music. Over my head, there must be a God somewhere. So until our people come and accept that position, that there's God, and come under God's authority, we can rebuild our communities. We can stop people from shooting and killing us. We can stop even killing ourselves. We will reclaim our humanity. We will see ourselves as Adam. We will see ourselves walking in the light of Moses. We will see ourselves walking in the light of Muhammad. We will see ourselves walking in our own light. We will see ourselves walking in the light of Frederick Douglass, walking in the light of Booker T. Washington, walking in the light of George Washington Carver, walking in the light of Mary McLeod Bethune, walking in the light of Sojourner Truth, walking in the light of Rosa Parks, walking in the light of Dr. Martin Luther King, walking in the light of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, walking in the light of Imam W.D. Muhammad, shining that light all over the world, shining it into the ghettos, shining it into that soul so they will be out of the ghetto and into the Gitmo. We will shine that light of Imam W.D. Muhammad in Ferguson. We will shine that light in Harlem. We will shine that light in the fourth ward in Houston. We will shine that light in Vine City. We will shine that light in Buttermilk Bottom. We will shine that light wherever we are. We will declare that God has raised up a people who will be responsible to him and him alone, and that they will establish the rule of God on earth for all people. I think we will have some comments and close out with. Okay. Yes, God is with us. He's with us to establish New Africa, a new people, a new will, a new commitment. Let us rededicate and recommit ourselves to developing. Let's go inside of our spirit. God will not change the condition of a people till they change what's troubling us. Be bothered, be troubled by pregnancy of our women being abandoned. Be bothered and troubled by our men not having jobs. Be troubled that we're not educating our children. Be troubled that they're taking most of our good, strong alpha males and putting them in special education. Be troubled by our young people being invited to crime, delinquency, and degeneracy. Be troubled by that. And God will give you the revelation, the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding. The be the new people God intended for you. I need you to do something. I need you to get a pen and paper out right now. I need you, in order to keep this broadcast on the air and to expand this broadcast, so we will be on radio, public radio, television. Send your donations to Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Repeat, Imam Alfred Muhammad, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. We need a sum of money. Keep this broadcast on the air. I want you to know something. There's some misnomers around here about Blog Talk Radio. Some people think Blog Talk is free. But let me tell you something. Blog Talk Radio is a business. Mr. Alan Levy, if we don't pay him that money, we won't be on the air. He's a great, nice people. I love the people that Blog Talk. We'll be on the air 3 years now. We're going to be on the air tomorrow. We're going to have a program by our dear brother and dear friend, Brother Abdul Rashid Akbar. He's going to be doing the New African Business. No. We'll have somebody else on tomorrow, I believe. I can't remember. Tuesday, I will be interviewed by Amadou Lakhada. Second week, I'm sorry, we're going to have Monday, I believe, we're having Brother David Hassan from the National Muslim Business Council. And Wednesday we have, as always, our dear brother, dear friend, Brother Nazim Rashid. And on the Thursday, the healthcare day, Friday we'll have also our brother and friend, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. I will return back with an open forum on Saturday. Tuesdays, Wali Muhammad will be on. But I think we're going to change this hour to 7:30. He'll be on from 7:30 to 8:30. So, and also, if you have any program ideas, please write to us, imamalfred@gmail.com. Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means a Lot.